I got bad news.
What's the bad news?
Our friend of the show, Madison Cawthorn.
Okay.
He's in deep water.
Deep water. Oh,
with
no.
The Republican establishment. We talked about a few weeks ago. It was the title of the show. We talked about how he exposed the GOP and his GOP family on Capitol Hill of having orgies, cocaine orgies.
All their cocaine-fueled orgies.
He exposed them all for having cocaine orgies, and he got reprimanded.
Oh, yes,
you remember
he
did. Kevin McCarthy talked to him, made him feel really bad about it. A bunch of other GOP senators spoke out because, you know, it's terrible action.
Of course, of course.
You can't have someone going around talking about the cocaine orgies. It's okay if he goes to, like, a Nazi rally. That's fine.
It's okay if he goes and visits Auschwitz.
But, yeah, if he's exposing the GOP for their orgy habits, that's unacceptable. But there's been a hit job on this man.
Yeah, coincidentally.
It's been a coordinated hit job on Madison Cawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's been lots of information leaking about him. For example, he had a picture of him in lingerie leak.
Oh, no.
Which just kind of made him look like he was having a good time.
No, literally, the thing about the lingerie picture, and especially, is you know he just did it for game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like with women. He just put it on to just get attention. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
He just did it for some coochie.
He had, another thing that leaked was that he's been pulled over by the police, like, several times for driving with, like, an expired license or something.
Oh, no.
We talked about his run-ins with the TSA. I made a joke about that last week, about how he brought a gun to the TSA, which makes him look good for Republicans, I feel like. There's a video that leaked of him humping his cousin naked.
What?
You didn't see this?
No.
There's a video that leaked of years ago. Madison Cawthorn, I don't know if he's completely naked, but he did not have a shirt on. And he is just humping his cousin on a bed. And dude is screaming, Madison. I encourage you to look it up. We cannot play it here. I will not say insert clip because we will get taken down. So view at your own discretion.
That's so funny.
But also, the big one, I think the kind of the penultimate conclusion here is that there's been an ethics complaint lodged against him.
Okay.
Because some staffer, I think, that he had, who he may have been related to, but I think it might have just been a staffer.
It was the cousin that he was humping.
I don't think he was the same guy. A staffer that he had, they were hanging out, and he reached for his crotch. The staffer did.
Yeah.
And now there's an ethics complaint against Madison Cawthorn, but I don't know what
Wait,
it's for.
About that video. That video is so tame. They're just, like, sitting in the truck, right? And Madison's talking, and then the staffer, like, puts his hand, like, adjacent to his crotch.
Yeah, and I think they're just friends anyway.
Yeah, they're just fucking around.
But, like, Madison Cawthorn now has an ethics complaint against him for being gay, perceived to be gay. I love how, like, if he was a member of the Democratic Party and, like, it was found out that he actually is a gay man, he'd be celebrated, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people wouldn't trash him. Maybe some people would be like, well, why didn't you come out sooner? You know, he might get some hate from some people. Uh-huh. But, like, overall, Democrats, they'd be pretty accepting of him. He comes out in the Republican Party. They don't care that he's literally a Nazi, that he's, like, a horrible human being. But they find out that he's gay. They got to run the worst hit
and
job
it's
they
like
can
they,
think of.
I mean, maybe they know behind the scenes that he's gay, but it's, like, all the stuff, it's so tame.
Yeah.
It's literally just dudes being bros.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's crazy, bro. Join a PS5 party. That shit is atrocious. It's foul, the things that you will hear. Go to any fucking locker room. Atrocious.
I love how, like, they'll have actual Nazis in their party. They'll have Marjorie Taylor Greene going to CPAC. They'll have just all kinds of crazy nonsense. But the
Taylor
moment
Greene
someone might be
Nick
gay,
Fuentes.
The moment someone might be gay, or the moment that someone outs their cocaine orgies, it's just over. It's over.
I love the GOP.
Crazy.
So much content.
Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody.
You know, it's been another absolutely horrible week.
Really bad week,
really,
in fact.
Literally bad week. Probably the worst one all year.
Terrible week. But actually, in personal news,
okay,
you'll see if you're watching video, we got a brand new setup, kind of.
Crazy.
Brand new audio recorder. That's thanks to our patrons.
Thanks to the help of our enormous angel investors.
Our financial backers. Uh-huh. They allowed us to get a little bit of an upgrade. Hopefully we're sounding okay.
Exactly.
This is the first time we're recording
cool,
with it.
Chill. I think this is the first time we've ever been actually level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fun. That's an exciting prospect. We've got a soundboard.
Exactly.
It's not set up, but as you can see, I'm gonna be sick with this in the next couple of weeks.
It's closest to gauge. So
it's just, I could just be in here. Look at all these pretty colors. Like, it's just going, playing.
I'll never know freedom. I just will not know freedom. You'll never know peace, bro. But like I said, funded by our financial backers on Patreon. So if you want to become one of those financial backers,
if you want to help us out with our next like set of upgrades, it'd be fantastic.
Exactly. You can head over to patreon.com/headintheofficepod. Got to. In fact, exactly. Morally required.
If you want to talk about our upgrades, talk about the show, talk about really anything, hit our Discord.
You can hop into our Discord. You can also check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Follow, subscribe.
Head in the office on every single one of those platforms.
Do it all. Today, we got to talk about a little bit of abortion news. Actually, that's most of the show.
Most of the show is abortion news.
That's definitely the biggest news recently. We also got to talk about the Fed, because that's something real that's going to impact your life if you're a regular person.
Shit on Lindsey Graham.
Do got to shit on Lindsey Graham. With a little bit of a labor union update. And hopefully it'll be a good show for you all.
Hope you all enjoy
it. I'm hoping. But also, another way you can have all the show.
Oh.
5-star review.
Of course. We've got a plethora here after we bullied you all last week to leave one.
We were really mean last week, but we've got 5 whole reviews. You want to hit these first two?
Yeah, I'll hit these first two. All right, first off, we got Love It by Natalie Press. My husband and I love listening to this podcast. Haven't listened to a podcast that fits our political alignment. Love your guys' community. Commentary. Keep it up. Mm-hmm. The community's pretty great, too, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
Naturally. You could have used either of those words.
Exactly. Honestly interchangeable. Next up, we've got My Favorite Podcast by FryGuy5454. I'm pretty sure this guy's our mutual on TikTok, and he also has a pretty cool page. So this is dual function. This is a shout-out for him, too. I like his stuff. This podcast is probably the best investment of your time.
Best?
They deliver the news, political analysis, and geopolitics in an informative, engaging, and funny way.
That's right.
They take the most putrid news and deliver it in a way that makes you laugh instead of cry like we probably should. Their attention to detail is impeccable and hold nothing back. They criticize absolutely everyone in politics. No one is safe from the genius of Jeremy and Gage.
Nobody's safe.
Oh my gosh.
If you are in the news, you're not safe from us.
Should have never gassed
coming after
us.
You.
Ooh.
Next one here, subject line, Hilarity in Politics by CD903723.
Ooh.
They say, after searching far and wide for a political podcast that best aligns with my views, I came across Head in the Office with Gage and Jeremy. These two bring a much-needed comedic and satirical yet informative and interesting perspective to today's political climate with lukewarm to mildly hot takes.
Okay.
My brothers in Christ do everything they can to keep you informed, but also not bore you to death. Love this podcast.
What can I say?
A lukewarm takes. That's what we're known for, apparently.
that's two reviews now. Two reviews. Yeah.
Next one is Love This Pod by Jay Cadjar. They say, I found these guys on TikTok and followed immediately. I now listen to them on my way to and from my job, and they make my day infinitely better. I'm a girl in her mid-20s with a poli-sci and philosophy degree. Me too.
That's crazy.
Too. Living in Texas. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
And it's encouraging to hear you guys, roughly my age, having such better discourse than the adults I come across in my life. My only complaint is that they only have one episode a week. Ooh. It feels like I'm back in college with my friends. 10 out of 10 would recommend. I'd love to do more than one episode a week, but I don't know if we got the facilities for that.
That's a lot. But we do have an announcement coming after this next review.
Just hang in there. If you can wait one more review.
Being in Texas, I just can't imagine there's a lot of guys just like us your age talking about this stuff anyway. So that's a rough one
for
you.
We're different.
We'll be talking about Texas a little later anyway.
Yeah. Last review here, A Beacon in This Hellscape by Lord T. The Hopeful.
Ah.
They say, in a world run by greed and corruption, it's very easy to get lost in the sauce and be discouraged from interacting with politics. Jeremy and Gage keep it real at all times and never hesitate to point and laugh at the absurdity of the structures around us.
Got to.
This podcast serves as an excellent reminder that here in America, we're all capital hostages and that the establishment is the real enemy, not my fellow hostages. I mean, citizens. I'm proud to support a couple of fellas that know to tell landlords to get real jobs, and it's my firm belief that this is the kind of media we need to get the ball rolling on change. If not for this pod, I'd probably be a real doomer by now. Keep up the Lord's work, fellas. I'm surprised you're not a doomer when you listen to
us. That's what I'm saying.
Because I feel pretty doomerish sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I walk away from these episodes just sad.
Yeah.
That was a lot of bad news. But anyway, onto the announcement. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. We'll sprinkle it in. Hit a book club.
That's right.
Now that we're both, we've wrapped up the semester, we're onto our summer break, we've got a little extra time on our hands, and we decided that we're going to be reading Hillary Clinton's State of Terror.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure that's the title of the book.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be reading Hillary Clinton's collab novel with Lewis Penny, State of Terror, and we'll be coming with you with a bonus episode at the end of this month.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about my ability to like stay like keep my attention on it.
That's what I'm saying.
I haven't like consciously tried to read a fiction book in a while.
I don't think
and it's
I've...
written by Hillary Clinton, so I don't know how well I'm going to be able to.
I don't think I've read a novel since Catcher in the Rye junior year of high school. Yeah. So 4 years ago. So I plan on just putting the audiobook on and taking it in small doses and taking a little bit of notes here and there.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes.
We'll hit you with that bonus episode at the end of the month. If you want to read along with us, you know, you could join the Discord, discuss it. We got a Hitto Book Club channel
exactly.
going on there.
Exactly, you can hang out with us.
Exactly, we'll be doing fun things.
All kinds of stuff coming up. But I think it's time to get into the news.
Yes, it is.
So first thing we got to talk about, biggest topic we got to talk about this week for sure, is the abortion ruling and some abortion bills and some news that is proliferated since we talked to you last week. We had an emergency episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was gauge-less, unfortunately.
I was literally taking a final.
But there's still plenty to go over.
Exactly.
So so we're going to do it here. So for those that haven't heard, there was a Supreme Court draft opinion last week that was written by Samuel Alito that detailed the court's plan to overturn Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which is the two Supreme Court decisions that uphold abortion rights in the United States. Yeah. Since that crazy news dropped last week, our boy Chuck Schumer had some stuff
Love
to say.
Love that guy.
He said that the Senate is going to be voting on a bill to codify abortion rights into law this week. Tomorrow, in fact, I think, Wednesday.
I love a meaningless vote. I love a vote when they just, I love just invoking this to try to get people, like, on your side, you know what I mean? To try to, like, help out with public, help curb public outrage and not having the actual means to do anything meaningful about it, you know?
Here's what he said. Schumer said, quote, "Next week, the American people will see crystal clear that when given the chance to right this wrong, the Republican Party will either side with extremists who want to ban abortion without exception, or side with women, with families, and with the vast majority of Americans."
Like, they already know that.
Yeah.
They already
that's,
know
that's
that.
That's my thing, is, like, I think this is supposed to be a symbolic move, where it's, like, similar to $15, how they were like, let's just vote for it because we know Republicans are going to vote against it. It'll show the American people where they stand. We already know where they stand.
And it's, like, even more so with abortion.
Yeah.
Like, even more so with abortion than $15 minimum wage, because you've got people, like, in the middle that don't... 70% of Americans support abortion rights.
Uh-huh.
Insane. Like, everybody knows it's the GOP.
Yeah, 70% of people support abortion rights, and I'm sure that it's not going to be 70% of people voting for Democrats in November.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that this symbolic vote really does a whole lot. Because Democrats in the House, I think last year sometime, or maybe just earlier this year, Democrats voted to pass a bill codifying Roe, along with some other stuff. It was like the Women's Protection Act or something like that.
Yeah.
But it didn't pass in the Senate.
Wow.
Because.
Shocker.
Because the Republican Party hates women.
Shocker.
Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what would have changed between then and now. I guess, like, public opinion or public, sentiment around Roe is, like, a lot higher now than it was back then, because people weren't actively thinking about Roe v. Wade and abortion rights. But right now, nothing's really changed. Like, the votes haven't changed, surely.
But it's like, public sentiment and public outrage about, like, stimulus checks was going crazy back then, too. And all 50 Republican senators voted no to stimulus checks.
Yeah.
They voted no to all the good things when public outrage is high.
And they still claim those victories.
Yeah, no, literally.
Yeah, so the bill seems like it's probably not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen.
Probably
not
going to
count on it.
Because if you don't know, with the Senate and its procedures, you need 60 votes to break a filibuster. At best, they maybe have like 52. Mitt Romney's already said that he is in support of the draft opinion. That's one of your moderates out the window. Susan Collins, maybe, but she was getting harassed by quote unquote by activists.
Susan Collins, some protester like wrote in chalk on the sidewalk out in like front of her house, not even in her driveway, on the sidewalk in front of her house. Hey, please codify abortion rights. And she contacted the police, said she wanted a full investigation and wants the people who did that arrested.
That's crazy.
Bro, what? What?
Was it like even in her driveway?
No, it was on the sidewalk in front of her driveway. That was it. Like,
she doesn't own that.
No, the city owns that, don't they?
That gives me, the city does own it. It gives me the vibes that when Steven Crowder called the cops on the dude for doing graffiti of George Floyd.
Oh my God.
The local city clerk or whatever was like, yeah, he's allowed
he
to
said,
do that.
He said, no, he can do this. And he's like, no. This guy's scaring
But
me.
He's black.
No, and it also reminds me of, God, I think it was during the stimulus, like, when stimulus talks, didn't somebody, like, spray paint Nancy Pelosi's garage door or something?
What happened? Because I remember someone, like, attacked McConnell's house, And they also, it might have been stimulus checks. I can't remember exactly what it was.
I think it was about something like, it was around that time, though, yeah, or about COVID in general. Yeah. But it's like, this is the most tame event like that to ever happen, probably.
Right, bro. If we were in France, they'd be like decapitated.
Like, bro, it's fucking chalk. It's going to wash off. You could take a water bottle and get rid of it.
Wait for it to rain, Susan. Like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, the bill doesn't seem like it's going to pass and because the filibuster still exists. And I'm not even sure that Manchin and Sinema would vote for it if it does. Because there's literally pictures of Joe Manchin standing with groups, like organizer groups that are against abortion rights. So...
love it so much. And
gotta,
like,
love our Senate.
I know they're also trying to put pressure on them with this too.
Yeah.
But it's not gonna work because they don't give a fuck.
Oh yeah. Like, no, they proved that.
You can't pressure somebody who just does not care.
Yeah. Like, Joe Manchin didn't want to, like, give paid maternity leave. You think he gives a fuck about abortion
rights?
Exactly.
Because the rhetoric behind this is like, oh my gosh, if they don't want to get rid of the filibuster through, like, the budget reconciliation thing to defend women's rights, then I guess that says a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've already been clear about this.
Yeah, no, not good. But in terms of other legislation, we got a bill coming out of Louisiana from last week. And the bill, which is, I don't know, I don't think it's passed yet. It just got out of committee in the Louisiana legislature.
It goes to open debate Thursday, so the day after the pot airs.
Oh, excellent. The bill will, quote, grant constitutional rights to all unborn children from the moment of fertilization and classify abortion as a homicide crime.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're really, really just ramping it up every single fucking week. They just get worse.
Yeah. A Louisiana lawyer, they said, quote, what this bill does is to specifically amend the crime of homicide and the crime of criminal battery to enable the state to charge people, including the pregnant person, the pregnant mother, at any stage of gestation.
Wow.
What the fuck? Like, dog.
Wow.
Apparently, once you have a clump of cells growing inside of you, you just don't matter anymore.
It's not even
that clump
that,
of cells, like, takes importance over you.
At fertilization?
Yeah.
Not even like implantation. Uh-huh. Like, you know, do they know that sometimes the egg, the fertilized egg, fails to implant?
Yeah.
Like, what about that then?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. They're so off the wall. It's pretty soon you're not going to be allowed to jerk off.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, you're not going to be allowed to have your period because you're fucking evacuating eggs that could be a baby.
No, yeah, that's like, that's the whole thing here is like, it's just such nonsense where we draw these lines of personhood. It leads to arbitrary shit like this. Like, under this framework, Plan B is going to be illegal.
Yeah.
Like, condoms are going to be illegal. Like, I have that later on in the show notes. Like, it's so fucking stupid.
God damn. A bunch of senators literally calling to ban all contraceptive. Uh-huh. There's just going to be a sex ban if you're not married in red states.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're heading.
Yeah. The bill also says that the law must be enforced, quote, without regard to the opinions and judgments of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Fuck federalism. Can't you not do that?
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, isn't that literally not how any of this works?
That's what I thought. Because, like, they're trying to get this, like, in effect right now. You know what I mean? Like, without approval.
Without waiting till the actual, like, ruling.
Or if it's, like, it turns out it doesn't get overturned. Like, they're trying to get this through right now. But, like, federalism, I thought, was a thing.
But literally, can't you not do that, though? Like, can't you just not? We're going to ignore the Supreme Court, actually.
Seems a little unconstitutional.
Yeah. Like, for the party that has wet dreams about the Constitution every night.
Yeah. I'm not sure what kind of exceptions are in this bill. I didn't really see any in the news story that I was
reading.
There's
probably absolutely nothing, especially after that PA primary.
Conservatives are already saying that there shouldn't be exceptions for rape and incest because, like, even if you were raped, it's still a child.
Let's remember, it is optically bad if you're a conservative to say that, yeah, rape is bad.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's optically bad for you to say, like, well, maybe if someone gets raped, they shouldn't have to carry that child to term.
It's optically bad to say that a 13-year-old shouldn't have to carry a pregnancy to term after rape. Love it.
And I don't understand, like, it's clearly not the teenager's fucking responsibility that that child is now growing inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't choose that. In fact, they didn't want it.
Mm-mm, not at all.
And you're going to force them to carry that baby to term?
They consented at no, like, way along this whole process.
And that's not to say, like, even if you do consent to having sex, that suddenly, like, you should be forced to go through with your birth using the power of the state. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the very least, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, what's next? Like, is killing an ant gonna be a crime? That's more than just a fucking clump,
like,
of cells.
That's what it boils down to when you start talking about personhood. You start drawing these arbitrary lines, like what You give no regard to the bugs that you step on every single day. If you see a cockroach in your house, you'll just fucking kill it like that. Uh-huh. That has more cognitive function than that has more cognitive and biological function than a fertilized egg. You know what I mean? Than anything does at conception. Or even a heartbeat. Do you know how arbitrary like a heartbeat is? That is peak virtue signaling.
Yeah.
That virtue signals harder than a 13-year-old communist on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
a heartbeat
stupid.
Literally means nothing.
Yeah. No, like, this is the party that, like, loves to always talk about, like, hunting and shit and eating meat and being all masculine. Like,
that's
going to be illegal?
Defending trophy hunting.
Uh-huh.
Trophy hunting.
Like, that's more than a clump of cells, big dog.
Exactly.
That's
what
a
about
whole living
dolphins,
thing.
Bruh?
Yeah.
You'd kill those no matter what. They're smarter than us.
Yeah.
Smarter than us.
It's fucking ridiculous. I hate them.
But while we're like, on the topic of, like, state laws and everything, I want to switch gears and talk about Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as a result of the couple bills Texas passed in the recent year, women are struggling to receive care for miscarriages. Who would have guessed?
Wow.
Who would have guessed, right?
That's a child. You just killed him.
Yeah.
That's
so,
that's a human.
So in one of the Texas laws, they list a bunch of drugs as, quote, abortion-inducing. This bars them from, like, being prescribed for abortions or being treated for abortions after the seventh week of pregnancy.
Wow.
Among the banned drugs are, I'm probably going to butcher these names, misoprostol and mifepristone. And coincidentally, these are, quote, the only drugs recommended in the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists guidelines for treating miscarriages. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. The only drugs used to treat miscarriages, right? And the only other procedure used to treat miscarriages is a uterine evacuation, which is just an abortion.
Yeah.
It's the same procedure that you use in abortion.
Wow.
And
so are these people going to be charged with, like, negligence if they miscarry?
I don't know about that, but to nobody's surprise, pharmacists in Texas have been refusing to fill prescriptions for any of these drugs because they can't distinguish whether or not they're going to be used for a miscarriage or an abortion. And if they are used for an abortion, those pharmacists will be held legally liable and they will be slapped with a felony and a $10,000 lawsuit.
Oh my fucking God, bruh.
Insane. Fucking insane, right? Another drug that's barred as an abortion-inducing drug in the law is methotrexate. Methotrexate is the most commonly prescribed drug to treat ectopic pregnancies. If you don't remember Misery in Missouri, ectopic pregnancies are literally fatal. They will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
2% of pregnancies are ectopic.
Uh-huh.
Most commonly prescribed drug to treat this thing. Ectopic pregnancies are also never viable.
Mm-hmm.
The baby will never grow and live. It is basically dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? And as NPR reports, several pharmacies have sent letters to OBGYNs in Austin, like the bluest fucking part of Texas, Austin, saying that they will no longer fill methotrexate prescriptions for ectopic pregnancies.
Oh my God, dog.
Yeah.
Oh my
fucking
God.
Fucking insane, right? Oh laws like this effectively allow people who write them to practice medicine without a medical license.
We're going so far backwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're either explicitly barring certain procedures or they're written so vaguely that no physician can take on the risk of actually, like, doing these things.
Uh-huh.
They can't practice medicine. The thing they went to school for, like, 13 years for, just because some fucking congressman wants to virtue signal.
Oh my fucking God, bro.
I love it. I love it.
We'll get into the narratives in a little bit here, but, like, it's like, I can't even tell anymore how many conservatives are just doing the grift because they know abortion, like, there's a lot of one issue voters on abortion and they need the votes, and how many people are actually just fucking evil.
Yeah.
Or, like, even if those two things are mutually exclusive
probably
at this
both,
point.
Like.
Yeah. Or, like, if they're just, like, dumb and actually believe this stuff. Like, it's just, we're living in a dystopia. Like, we're going so far backwards. We've developed these drugs to make life better for people.
Mm-hmm.
Make life easier for people. And we would take these away just to make women, just to make people with wombs suffer.
And it's, like, this is all in the context of a miscarriage, right?
Yeah.
So, the baby's already dead. A miscarried fetus is, the state of Texas is literally making it so hard for physicians to help treat miscarriages that they are making women who just suffered through a traumatic miscarriage suffer. They're making them sit with a dead baby to rot in their stomach.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because that dead baby poses a significant risk of infection. You need these drugs in a lot of miscarriages to help evacuate the fetal matter, to get it out of there, or else the mother could bleed to death, or she could suffer from a serious infection and just fucking die.
Yeah.
Wild, right?
Insane.
Wild. And so many of these, and this isn't going to stop at just Texas. When Roe gets overturned in the summer, you know all the other states like fucking Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisiana, all the other states that have enacted these draconian abortion bans, they're going to do shit like this, and it's going to stop people from getting procedures that are supposed to be legal.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. No, what and I mean, fuck? There's already like 20-some states, more than 20 states that already have abortion restrictions on the books, and there's only going to be more.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's just, it's horrifying. Mm-hmm. It's horrifying, really. We're going backwards, people. Woohoo. but before we get into the narratives,
yeah,
I think we need to address one line of argumentation before we go on.
Okay.
And that's the personhood argument.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it too much, a couple of times.
We talked about it on an episode like a while ago.
Yeah. But I wanted to bring it up because that's kind of, that's what I think is going to be like the main argument that conservatives use right now.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
That's and, the big one.
Because you'll hear people like Ben Shapiro saying like, life starts at conception. That's scientific fact. Like you'll see him just lying.
Yeah.
Just like making shit up. And I want to make it clear that like a clump of cells growing within a person should not be prioritized over that person.
1,000%.
That's all it is.
1,000%.
Like, you should be able to control your body and what you do with your body, what happens with your body, regardless of if you have some cells growing inside of your belly.
Bodily autonomy supersedes personhood. Like, it should supersede that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like, that's the thing is, like, we don't even know if life actually begins at conception or not. It's purely a philosophical argument. For anyone to say that it's
You're just guessing.
For anyone to say that it's been decided is just lying. Like, philosophers have been arguing, scientists have been arguing about this for decades, centuries even. Mm-hmm. They don't know when personhood starts.
Yeah.
They don't know when life begins. How are we supposed to know that?
Exactly. Is a fertilized egg conscious?
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you that animals are conscious. I can tell you that bugs are conscious, but we kill them with no moral consideration. Uh-huh. I don't understand. You're basing it on the potential for this thing to become a human.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing is like, well, eventually it's going to become a fully fledged human being. Okay, so then if we stop the sperm the moment before it fertilizes the egg, the moment before conception, it's still potentially going to be a human, right?
Yeah.
Like, that sperm is still going to reach the egg. Uh-huh. It's still going to become a human. But if we stop it, is that murder? So what? Contraception is murder? Wearing a condom is now going to be murder?
Yeah.
If we decide to not have sex, is that murder? Because sperm would have gone on to fertilize an egg.
You can keep pushing it back so far that you're literally going to just ban periods.
Right. Is masturbation murder at that point? That sperm would have gone on to fertilize an egg and create a child. Like, that's the reason I'm saying all this is because it just proves that the lines we draw around personhood are arbitrary.
And
we can't use them. We can't use these arbitrary lines to make laws that will kill people.
Mm-hmm. because the thing about personhood is it's such a so soft. You know what I mean? There's no hard line determining when something becomes a person. And legislation has to have hard lines. It has to be written in very explicit ways so that you know this is a case where this applies, this is a case where this doesn't apply. You can't legislate around something that you can't fundamentally decide on.
Yeah.
And so you have to talk about it from the perspective of bodily autonomy and medical privacy, because medical privacy is going to be it's going to be so important in the coming year and the coming months after the Roe gets overturned, because you're going to have states trying to operate as sanctuary states for women traveling out of state to get abortion.
Yeah.
And you're going to run into the issue of, like, say someone in Oklahoma flees to Illinois to get an abortion, and the state in Oklahoma wants to prosecute them, and they ask Illinois, they're going to ask them, give us these medical records so we can prosecute. Illinois says no. What happens when that goes to the Supreme Court and it echoes the same decision as the Dred Scott decision?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gets into medical privacy and shit like that. It's just, there's nothing good that's going to come out of this.
No, it's like once you start assigning moral worth and humanity to a clump of cells, you are so far outside of the realm of reality that, like, there's no use in having a debate with you.
It's just,
like, there's nothing I can say that can convince you otherwise if you've assigned a clump of cells to be an actual human being. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just out of your fucking mind.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, people who are pro-life for that have just lost the fucking plot.
Yeah.
I honestly think there is just no fucking convincing somebody who's like, oh, you're just, it's just murder.
Yeah.
There's no fucking convincing them.
Right.
But you shouldn't have to, because again, 70% of people support abortion rights.
Yeah.
This shouldn't even be on the table. We live in a democracy, air quotes.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be on the table.
Yeah. Ultimately, existing life should always come before potential life. And because there is no I don't know, definitive answer for the personhood question, we have to defer to just civil rights and bodily autonomy.
Mm-hmm. And existing life doesn't end at whether or not the mother's life is in danger, like direct physical danger. Like she's either going to have the baby and fucking die, or she's going to live from aborting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That also extends to conversations around like having babies are fucking expensive.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to raise this kid in poverty. That's going to push the mother further into poverty. This is going to create bad societal outcomes.
And God knows that a Republican government's not going to fucking help you raise your kid.
Exactly. Like, exactly. A Democratic government won't fucking help you raise your kid when we're banning, we're getting rid of the child tax credit. We're getting rid of all the good fucking things.
A Republican government will force you to have a kid and then be like, well, it's not our fault that you can't raise it.
Exactly. Like,
that's literally all they'll do.
You shouldn't have fucked. You shouldn't fuck till you get married.
Yeah, no, exactly. anyway, that's an empty brain take. If you have that take, empty brain. Absolutely empty brain. But we need to get into some narratives.
Okay.
Talk about a little bit about the optics. And we're gonna start off with the right wing, you know, our favorite wing.
We love them. We love them a lot.
There's this argument about federalism that's been going around. And I think it's really interesting. I think it's really interesting because the argument goes something like the Supreme Court may overturn Roe and Casey, right? It may kick the decision back to the states. But then the state governments will decide. The representatives will decide. And that's still democracy, so I don't know why the left is
so
angry.
It's not a ban on abortion. It's just going back to the states.
Yeah, it's more democracy.
Yeah.
They say this as if state governments can't also oppress people.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Crow laws were state laws in the South, state and local laws.
They were bad.
Yes.
They were bad.
They definitely oppressed people. And it's like, they're only saying this, they're only so comfortable with saying this because they know that they can't get it done at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get rid of abortion rights at the federal level, but they can get it done in certain states.
Which they absolutely will try to. They are absolutely going to try to get rid of abortion rights once they fucking take the Senate and take the House after the midterms this year.
Mitch McConnell already said it's on the table.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. That's their goal. That's what they're going to be trying to doing. What are these people going to say then?
Yeah. And, like, they know they can get it done in state legislatures because Republicans fucking dominate state mm-hmm. legislatures because they own a bunch of gerrymandered districts. So kicking it back to the states is just their way of saying, okay, we'll find another way to do it.
Yeah.
They don't care about democracy.
It's like, I think the most effective thing that I've honestly ever heard to combat this talking point came from our Discord. And I think it was Kaz said in the Discord, okay, yeah, let's kick it back to states. But you know what? State governments can still be pretty oppressive. So let's kick it back to like local municipalities. But you know what? Those can also oppress people. So why don't we kick it back to the households? But you know what? If we're already this small, why don't we just make it an individual's choice whether or not to do these things? Oh, that's crazy. Cause that's democracy.
No, that's not democracy. No. Women can't decide for themselves. We have to let the Texas state legislature decide if they want to let it happen.
Yeah.
Because that's democracy. If we go any further, that's not democracy anymore.
Love it.
That talking point's just so stupid. Like somehow state governments are this like infallible beacon of democracy that can never be wrong.
And as if that just makes anything more morally right. Like as if that should quell any outrage. Like people aren't mad that it's getting kicked back to the states. People are mad that women are going to be oppressed in those states.
And like, it doesn't matter what state you live in. You shouldn't lose civil rights. I don't like your civil rights should never come into question depending on the state that you live in. I said this on the emergency pod, but like the lines that we draw around our states aren't fucking real.
Yeah.
It's
arbitrary.
Not real. Like we're all just American citizens.
There's not
a
fucking line that literally exists between Michigan and Ohio.
Exactly. There's no line there. You shouldn't have your civil rights revoked regardless of where you are.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter if you live in Texas versus California, your civil rights shouldn't come into question.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. And there's also the statistic that there is no state in which there's more than 30% support for abolishing Roe v. Wade.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to think about considering all the abortion bans that are coming through. It's almost as if our elected representatives don't really represent us.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Yeah, and like, you'll have your Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder type saying things like, well, it's just going to go back to the states. Yet again, there is no state with more than 30% support for overturning Roe v. Wade, but 20-some states already have abortion restrictions ready to go.
That's not very democracy of you.
That doesn't really sound like democracy.
That doesn't sound like it at all. Michigan, a blue state, is about to ban abortion because of a law that they never got rid of.
Yep.
Wild.
Yeah, and there's a couple other states like that. And then you also, of course, you have states like Texas and now Louisiana that's going to have just terrible abortion bills.
The people who voted for the law in Michigan fucking over 50 years ago, the people who voted for that
90 years ago.
And the people who wrote that fucking law are either dead or mooching off of Social Security right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? And they won in the end over the people who are here and alive right now?
Yeah.
They're pro-life, yet they're dead.
Yeah. Someone explain that.
How are you pro-life and die?
That does not make any sense to me. The next argument, though, maybe my favorite, the abstinence
just
argument.
Just don't fuck.
This argument, which is, it's been a real one, surprisingly, that we've seen. If you don't want to get punished for getting an abortion, just don't have sex.
It has been a surprisingly prevalent argument, too. Cannot get away from the headlines talking about this.
For the party that talks about, like, big government overreach and human nature so much, I'm, like, shocked that they can even have this take. Like, how are they not just combusting with
literally
all the contradictions
just in
their
head? In your fucking bedroom.
Yeah.
They're just in there meddling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, okay, like, look. As humans... As mammals, as beings, organisms.
As things.
Yeah. Sex is like a normal human function. And it's not something the government should have a role in regulating.
Some people arguing that having sex and reproducing is, in fact, the purpose of the species.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're actually biologically wired to do it.
We are hardwired to want to fuck.
Uh-huh.
Insane.
Like, government can, in a utilitarian sense, government can, like, help make sex safer. That's what they've done.
That's what they should be doing.
Like, with things like contraception, STD protection, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But government shouldn't be, like, punishing you.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because people are going to do it regardless. Just like how women are going to be having abortions regardless, they'll just be doing it more unsafely.
Yeah.
Back when fucking gay sex was illegal, that shit happened all the time still.
Yeah. And it's like, this is all in the context of the Republican Party doesn't want better sex education. The Republican Party doesn't want to give away free contraceptives. They don't want to give you paid maternity leave. They don't want to give you universal health care. They don't want to give you child care. They just want to force you to give birth and watch you suffer.
They just want more workers.
Yeah.
They want more workers who are going to stay in poverty forever and just be able to just, like, you know, just lick the boot of the party.
Yeah.
It's all they want.
And you may be thinking, that's insane. Nobody said that. I would say, surprise.
We have receipts.
I would say that we do have receipts. Marsha Blackburn, Senator Marsha Blackburn, says she thinks that birth control should only be legal for married couples.
How does that even fucking make sense in any way, in any sense of the statement? How does that make sense?
Aren't
married couples the ones that are supposed to be having kids anyway? Like, in their worldview, in the way that these fucking Christian fundamentalists think?
Well, I think, okay, well, they think that if you give someone birth control, you make it accessible, then that's you condoning them having sex.
Oh, so you can only condone sex for married couples.
Right.
That's the logic here.
But
oh,
I still don't
okay.
know why you would want to give them birth control. I guess because I'm going to stop trying to explain because I don't fucking know.
If birth control, shouldn't it be illegal across the board?
I don't know. She said that Griswold v. Connecticut, which was a 1965 Supreme Court case.
Okay.
It was a case that said the government can't restrict the use of birth control. She said that that decision was wrongly decided.
Why?
I don't know. This
on
case
what
is
grounds?
More than 50 years old. I don't know. I don't know. Blake Masters, a candidate for Senate in Arizona, GOP, of course.
Naturally.
He said that he wants to ban condoms in the state.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I have no idea. He wants to ban condoms in the state. We're going backwards, people.
Why? What fucking audience is he trying to reach with that? Like, who is he trying to appeal to?
I don't know.
Who even like says that?
Yeah. No, that was going to be my point here is like these attempts or this kind of narrative around them trying to like make it so abortions happen less or just make it so people have sex less.
Yeah.
Like that's their goal. And the way they want to do that is by taking away birth control, taking away condoms, that kind of thing. These are policies that, like, the clinically insane come up with.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no explanation.
No,
like, taking away birth control, like, you're just fucking crazy.
You know what I think it is? You know what I honestly think it is? It's the fact that abortion has been one of those issues that the GOP has used to fundraise for forever.
Yeah.
It has been something they've used to get all these one-issue voters, like, on their side. You know what I mean? In these elections. And now that they've fucking won, sadly... They just have to resort to a more extreme version of that position to try and attract that crowd back and keep them voting for them.
Yeah.
Because why else would you say, yeah, we need to get out here and ban condoms?
Yeah, I know. Like, they're just getting more and more extreme because they're trying to keep their base in check. And if they don't keep getting more extreme, then they're not going to keep their attention long enough to win.
That's just going to function to keep their base in check. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, the Democrats, they're going to do some dumb shit and legitimize it somehow by giving it actual, like, credit and credence. And then it's going to further, further push the issue more right into a more psychotic lens.
This dude, Blake Masters, is going to win. And Joe Manchin is going to be like, maybe he's onto something.
Maybe this guy's got a good idea. You know, we have to treat him seriously. He won for a reason, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my fucking God. But yeah, GOP wants to take away birth control now. And, like, people were, as soon as the Roe v. Wade decision came out, people were literally saying, like, yeah, they're going to come for condoms next. Like, their goal here is, like, sex purity.
Yeah, they're going to come.
That's what they're going for.
They're going to come for condoms. They're going to come for fucking sodomy, too.
Yeah, they're going
to. There's that Texas law that was on the books that literally made it illegal to fuck as a gay guy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, there was wasn't there a Supreme Court decision about that too?
Yeah.
I don't remember which one that was, but yeah, there's a Supreme Court decision that, like, the government, like, can't stop sodomy. Mm-hmm. Like, the police can't barge in and stop gay sex. Like, that's weird. You can't do that. And they're definitely going to come for that too.
Yeah, no, it's just so crazy too, cuz there's the other point that I don't think we've talked about it yet, but I think four or all five of the justices who voted in favor of this during their confirmation hearings said that Roe v. Wade is precedent. Like, it is Supreme Court precedent.
Yeah.
It should not be overturned because it's been codified through so many different Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah.
And I love it when they lie.
It was three of them that just lied about it were Trump appointees.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, it's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Someone that got 3 million less votes than the person that lost somehow is appointing 3 Supreme Court justices and we're losing civil rights. Look at that.
Insane.
Gotta love that. Next narrative. I think last narrative here from the right. The leaker.
Oh,
that's what's
yeah.
important.
That's the worst thing here. That's the worst thing to happen. How dare they defile the sacred institution that is the Supreme Court?
Yeah, a big narrative here has been that the leaker completely undermines the integrity of the court. But, you know, Clarence Thomas and his wife trying to aid with an insurrection and Thomas trying to cover it up using his powers as Supreme Court justice, that does not undermine
Clarence
the integrity of the
Thomas
court.
Clarence Thomas having a clear conflict of interest with the Citizens United ruling,
yeah.
That doesn't undermine the integrity of the court. All the stupid fucking decisions that they've made doesn't undermine the integrity of the Supreme Court.
But a leaked document?
Yeah.
That's big.
Oh, no. The public is aware of public proceedings. Oh, my fucking God.
It's the end of the end of democracy now. A lot of people have just assumed that it's a liberal clerk that leaked it.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, a bunch of conservatives pointed directly to Sonia Sotomayor.
Woman of color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only woman of color on the bench right now because Ketanji Brown Jackson.
If she was in it, you know they'd say it was her. It was literally just her.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it could be, it might not be a liberal. I've seen lots of speculation out there. I want to engage in some theorizing real quick, some theory crafting. Some people have said it could be a conservative clerk.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've seen the idea floating around the airwaves that a conservative clerk leaked this to get public outrage going right now so that it wasn't going when the ruling actually happens closer to the midterms.
Right, because you got to think of it. Like, if it was a liberal clerk, why would they not just wait until June, July, August, whenever the decision comes out? Because then the outrage would be fresh in everyone's mind when it gets to November or when October runs around and absentee voting is happening, et cetera. Leak it now, and it's going to take a while for elections to happen, and people are going to eventually forget something new could come into the news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it could be a conservative clerk.
Oh, I gotta derail this for a second. Speaking of something new coming into the news cycle,
okay.
I have seen so many fucking god-awful tweets and conservatives saying, oh, the quartering tweeted this one shit recently.
Oh, no.
He's like, wow, so as soon as the Supreme Court decision gets leaked, everybody just forgets about lockdowns and masks and all these other things. It's like, yes, yes.
Everyone had already forgotten about lockdowns and masks.
Everyone forgot about COVID. Nobody fucking gives a shit about COVID anymore.
Literally,
and
nobody
he's like,
cares
wow,
about COVID.
As soon as this big thing happens, everybody forgets about other things. Crazy how that works.
Oh my God, crazy. The news cycle's happening.
Oh my God, big news happened that overshadowed other news. Wild.
Yeah.
But it's like they're trying to frame it as if this was the establishment
trying
to get you to not worry about those things anymore.
It's the New World Order, George Soros, Bill Gates taking over, crafting with Dr. Fauci COVID in China.
Exactly, COVID in a lab in Ukraine, and that's why we got to support Russia's efforts.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Alex Jones type shit. Anyway, though, conservative clerk possibly. Maybe one for Alito? Could be.
Oh.
That was my thought. I think that seems like a far shot. Some people have said maybe a clerk for Judge Roberts, Chief Justice, or maybe not Chief Justice. Maybe. No, it was Brett Kavanaugh. Because Brett Kavanaugh has been a little wishy-washy on abortion stuff in the past.
Yeah.
He hasn't, like, fully signed on. He signed on to the draft opinion with Alito.
I think there was a ruling, there was, like, some pro-abortion thing that he ruled, like, in favor on last year, I want to say.
And the thought is that this, if you read the opinion, you saw it's pretty conservative. they were using, like, the eugenics arguments, basically. So you know that it's already really conservative. And the thought here is that there may be some justices that are thinking of backing down. Some justices that are thinking of switching sides, maybe one or two.
Yep.
And that's all it takes to change the decision, change the outcome of Roe v. Wade, and keep it in place.
Mm-hmm.
So some justices may be thinking like, okay, I might switch over before the public knows about what this opinion is going to be because I'm just not there yet.
Yeah.
So if a conservative clerk hears about this, leaks the document, that's going to effectively lock everyone into their positions because changing your position now will seem like a concession.
Yeah.
And that is the last thing justices can handle, is seeming like they are conceding ground to anybody.
Which, like, in theory, shouldn't be an issue because the Supreme Court is this infallible institution, right?
Right.
That never caves to public pressure because of the lifetime appointments. So in theory, shouldn't they not have to worry about these things? Or in practice, is it a little different, maybe?
No, yeah.
Maybe that's... we live in reality and these people are... They will fall to public pressure because they themselves are people who are insecure and worried about these things.
Yeah. No, I think, like, it definitely is a case of a conservative clerk leaking it to try to keep people in their place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost like a, I don't know, it's like a shot in the dark saying, like, if you change your position, like, you will get annihilated by the public. Because they all know that you would switch sides if you do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe. Maybe.
I
also want to toss out there, Ginny Thomas, maybe? Maybe, like, we're not talking about Clarence Thomas.
Just because she's awful?
Yeah. Like. Maybe it was Ginny Thomas, maybe Virginia Thomas, Clarence Thomas' wife. Maybe she leaked it. Could be.
True.
That'd be pretty crazy.
She's just the fucking worst.
She's trying to dodge the news. Like, all the spotlight was on her being corrupt, her husband being corrupt, and now it's not. And she was like, let me just leak this.
Wait a minute. Bro, that'd be so funny. I'd love that so much.
Yeah. Some honorable mentions, though.
Okay.
For stupid right-wing narratives. The protests outside of the Supreme Court look like an insurrection.
That's a great one. Dog, I saw a Ben Shapiro tweet, I think it was like earlier today, talking about, oh, wow, so liberals during January 6th could tweet that it looks like an insurrection outside the Capitol, yet you can't say anything about these abortion protests? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, yes.
Yeah. It's like, well, first of all, it didn't look like an insurrection outside of the Supreme Court. I think people showed up to Brett Kavanaugh's house, but it's like, dog, you're a public official. Let's stop. Like, let's be intellectually honest with how we treat our political, I don't know, our political leaders. I know he's not an elected official, but someone in a position of power.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. We know these people are influenced by political movements.
Yes.
They can't not be. So, like, yeah, people are going to protest at his house and outside of the Supreme Court. It's a political institution. Like, if you want to say we live in a democracy, then that's what you got to accept. You're a person with power, big dog.
There was a Supreme Court ruling, I want to say in the 50s, could be completely 100% wrong on the date, but either way, there was a Supreme Court ruling that reaffirmed somebody's right to protest outside another person's house.
Yeah.
And it's like, you made your bed, you got to lay in it now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Get over it, big dog. Another honorable mention, Democrats claim to fight for women's rights, but they can't define woman.
I love that one. I love that one. That right after all those horrible fucking Mother's Day tweets. Happy. You got Ben Shapiro.
Happy unspecified gender day.
Happy unspecified gender who just so happens to give birthing person day.
Yeah.
Dog.
I love
conservative shut the fuck up and be funny challenge. Impossible.
So I remember Gavin Newsom. governor of California. He said something along the lines of California is going to like take steps to ensure that women's rights are protected. Mm-hmm. And then Ben Shapiro is just going fucking nuts on Twitter saying like, wow, only women's rights? What about men that can give birth?
Did that? I'm sure that came after his absolute banger of a tweet last week as a gay man.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like let's definitely be inclusive. People with wombs, but holy shit, man. Like, come shut
on,
the fuck up.
Come on.
Come on. The last one here, Clarence Thomas had an absolute banger of a take.
Okay.
He said, you need to learn to live with the outcomes you don't agree with. Yeah, just like you are right now, learning to live with outcomes that you don't agree with. Because conservatives historically are really good at living with outcomes they don't agree with.
Clarence, if we threw you, a woman, or any other person who isn't a straight white male back into the 1800s, would you learn to live with the outcomes that you disagree with of the time? Or should maybe we recognize that those things were morally wrong and we should move against all that?
Yeah, maybe.
God.
Oh, man, I love that. In conclusion, Republicans are actual demons, yes. Emissaries of the devil himself. They love suffering, and there's no other explanation. They're just evil.
Now, like,
there's no explanation.
Time to flip to the other side of the aisle, and I want to address this huge liberal talking point that I've seen. These are the consequences of 2016, or if you didn't vote in 2016, this is directly your fault, which is a take that I've seen a lot. And while it's somewhat true, in the current makeup of the court would be much different had Hillary won, focusing on this is absolutely ridiculous for a couple reasons. First, Democrats did nothing with the 50 years that they had to codify Roe.
Yeah.
Insane, right? They just ignored it, said nothing bad could ever happen.
Yeah, back when, like, even Republicans were in support of abortion rights in some cases. Like, Ronald Reagan supported abortion rights.
Yeah, back when it wasn't this fucking controversial and polarized. Back when it wasn't such a wedge issue.
Yeah.
Wild, right? Next, it's not like people didn't vote for Hillary in 2016. She literally won the fucking popular vote. It was the slave state compromise that is the Electoral College that screwed her over. Specifically with this point, I've seen a lot of people blame this on leftists, saying that if they would have just sucked it up and voted for Hillary instead of whining about Bernie losing the nomination, you could have won. Fun fact, 70% of Bernie supporters voted for Hillary.
And I think there were more Hillary supporters from 2008 that went on to vote for John McCain than Bernie supporters that went on to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So, I think it's like statistically,
around 12% of Bernie supporters voted for Donald Trump. And I think, oh God, I'm probably going to fuck up the number for the Hillary one. I think I saw something like 50.
Yeah.
50% voted for John McCain.
Yeah.
Fucking insane. Absolutely insane, right? But let us not forget the most important part of this whole, like, voting equation. Hillary was a dog shit candidate.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely horrible. She was out of touch. She ran a mid to bad fucking platform, and she excited nobody.
The only good parts of her platform were the parts that Bernie pulled her further left anyway.
Yeah, the parts that she literally had to adopt to appease the Bernie base, who had been winning until she stole the election.
until the DNC just screwed him over.
Literally stole the election.
No, but like actually though, like
fucking crazy. Like no Trump, but he stole the election.
Like yeah, it is. I think it's undeniable that we wouldn't be in this position had Hillary Clinton won.
Yeah.
But for the love of fucking God, stop blaming Bernie Sanders for Hillary Clinton not winning.
Oh my God,
She lost in the general election. She stole the primary. Yeah. Like, I mean, the DNC stole it for her. Blame it on the Electoral College for being fucking broken and favoring conservative candidates.
The DNC is a privately run organization. Yeah. Like the Democratic primaries are not like a like federal election.
Yeah. You can blame it on the broken Electoral College, again, a compromise with slave states. Mm-hmm. You can blame it on Donald Trump being a proto-fascist and making those appeals. Blame it on Hillary Clinton not having a good enough platform or whatever else. Don't blame it on fucking Bernie supporters.
Blame it on everybody being absolutely fucking cucked when it comes to just the idea of the Supreme Court being this apolitical body.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? Also, the Democrats never learned from the mistake with Hillary, and they continue to run the worst fucking milquetoast candidates that spit the most worthless platitudes, thinking that the general public isn't going to call them on their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much of this is just the Democrats' fault as a fucking party for being horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. Not getting to the meat of any fucking issue.
Yeah, and I've seen lots of people right now, like, getting mad at Democrats that are currently in Congress. And here's the thing. I'm going to offer a hot take.
Okay.
Very hot take. Not lukewarm.
Not lukewarm.
You hear that, reviewer?
Yeah.
So, Biden can't fucking do anything for abortion. This isn't something you can executive order your way out of.
Yeah.
Like, he can't do that. He does not have the power to do that. There's precedent with the Supreme Court. If they overturn it, he can't just say, like, every state has to protect abortion rights. Not how it works. People in Congress right now, because they don't have 50 votes in the Senate, can't do anything about this.
Yeah.
It isn't really their fault.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
no.
You can blame them on it if they've been there for, like, 50 years, 47 years, whatever. But right now, the current Congress can't really do anything.
Yeah.
This is a structural problem because half of the fucking country, or no, not even half the country, half of the parties in our country don't fucking believe that you should have the right to an abortion. This is a problem of previous generations not doing shit to solidify these civil rights and our broken political structure is not being conducive to us actually protecting civil rights.
Oh, yeah.
That is all this is.
Another point that I wanted to make is that let's talk about how conservatives have been carefully manipulating things backstage in that for literal fucking decades, they've been working to stack the courts and dismantle voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
They've been gerrymandering the fuck out of everything. Courts are profoundly conservative. They are winning state legislatures.
Yeah.
They're doing everything they can backstage to ensure that they get what they want. And in this case, in most cases, it's literally taking people's rights away.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats don't do anything except tell you to vote a little harder.
Yeah.
Like,
and like, if you're a lefty, this is not reason to not vote. I'm always going to tell you to go and vote. Very important.
I think you should always vote for damage control. Yeah.
Always vote for damage control. And that's also not us saying like Democrats are good. They don't deserve your praise.
Absolutely not.
Fucking dog shit party.
You're voting strictly for damage control.
But unfortunately, your decision, your choices are, you know, someone that's center left or some, or even center right in some cases, someone that's near the center or an actual fucking emissary of the devil.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Because there is a, like, if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, it is true that we wouldn't be in this position. We'd have a whole host of other problems, I'm sure.
But you know what? If Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, I can tell you right now, Roe v. Wade still would not be codified into law.
I would put
literally all the money we've made from the pod on that.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't have paid attention to it.
Exactly.
I guarantee you.
It wouldn't have been an issue. I saw this, Hassan actually posted this meme on a story. It was a picture of the trolley problem, right? And it said, you could flip the switch and nobody would die and the issue would be over, but you wouldn't have anything to fundraise on.
Yep.
Then it was the person like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, and up until now, Republicans and Democrats have both used abortion, at least in some capacity, as a thing to platform on, but not actually do anything about. But now Republicans are literally just taking rights away.
And
because
it's
this, to be fair, this is the logical end of everything they've been doing with their rhetoric and their messaging. This is what, like, it brings them to.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we talked about this with Madison Cawthorn one time, it's like, we have a generation of Republicans, the older ones, that are in office that don't really believe what they're saying. They're just lying to get by.
Yeah.
But now we're having a younger generation pop up that actually believes this shit.
It's
and
insane.
That's the most dangerous part.
It's insane.
It's like the grifters, no one to flip the switch and like turn it off at least slightly.
Mitch McConnell is good at playing the game.
Yeah.
Madison Cawthorn has genuine convictions regarding these things.
Yes.
It's wild.
Yeah. People like Madison Cawthorn, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, they actually believe this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Older Republicans can, like, they know that they're fucking lying for money.
Yeah.
They know that they're lying just to win and keep power. They're evil, just all the same. But they know when to, like, stop themselves.
Yeah.
They know that it's just for political points. These people actually want to take away your rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Republican Party has brought us.
Fucking insane.
And because the Democratic Party has been too weak to stop them, and they haven't done anything in the past to stop them, and our political structures won't allow us to stop them, this is where we are.
They don't do anything. And you know what? I'll drop another like hot take that I've been thinking about.
All right, do it.
I think that there are certain Democrats that are happy this happened.
Oh,
I think there are Democrats that are 100% happy that this happened. They're not happy that the abortion rights were stripped from women, because I do think a lot of them genuinely care. I think that they are just happy that now they have an issue that they can actually tangibly fundraise off of, because it just became real for a lot of women. And that's where I think a lot of people lose faith in politics as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that's why so many people don't vote, because they see that. You know what I mean? They can see through all the bullshit that these politicians spit.
Mm-hmm.
They can see through all the platitudes. They understand that, like, a lot of the Democrats that are either up for re-election right now or are campaigning to, like, beat a Republican in their otherwise blue state in their district, they're very happy right now, because now they've got, like, something to actually galvanize.
It's a free issue.
It's a free issue. They've got something to galvanize their base for.
Yeah.
That's not anything material Like, well, this is very material, but not material in the sense of, like, wealth inequality.
Yeah.
This isn't a $15 minimum
wage. They don't have to challenge capitalism.
This isn't anything that's going to hurt their donors.
Yeah.
So for that, they're very happy.
Yeah, all they, this is, no, it's literally a free issue. They don't have to go out and talk about, like, their free tax deductible financial aid account that you keep for 52 years and can withdraw from. Yeah. Like, they don't have to go out and talk about any of that nonsense. It's a free issue where they can say, like, yeah, I'll vote for abortion rights, which is good.
Which is good. Very We're not good. Saying it's not good.
But our point here is that they just continue to use this as something to campaign on rather than an issue to actually solve.
Mm-hmm. It's just like student debt.
Yeah.
It's just like student debt, except, you know, worse for women.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very bad.
Very much worse. Very much worse. Bad. I'm not saying these two are exactly equal, but I guess my last point about everyone spewing this talking point is specifically the people saying, this is your fault for not voting in 2016. That rhetoric is so fucking alienating for, like, well-meaning people who don't, like, necessarily vote that much, but it's like you're just yelling at them. For nothing.
Uh-huh.
That's like if I went up to an Obama voter and said, yeah, he bombed that hospital. That's your fault.
Right.
You literally voted for this.
You killed those people.
It implies that our elected representatives actually represent us.
Uh-huh.
And if you know anything, you know that they don't.
It also obfuscates the fact that, like, it's not up to voters to be motivated themselves. It's up to the candidates, at least within our political structure. Yeah. It's up to the candidates to motivate the voters to go and vote for them.
Candidates should be earning our votes.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. It's like if voters don't feel motivated to go and vote for Hillary Clinton and they definitely don't want to vote for Donald Trump, isn't that Hillary Clinton's fault for not mobilizing them?
Yeah, not voting is a vote.
Yeah.
Like, abstaining from the process is a choice.
Yeah.
And it's the fault, it's your own fault for not being able to galvanize them.
Yeah. And I think everybody should take time to, like, figure out what candidates they want to vote for and go and cast their vote. I think it's important for democracy for a lot of people to be engaged. But there's a reason that turnout was so low in 2016.
Yeah.
And that's because a lot of people felt forgotten about and a lot of people felt like their vote didn't fucking matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why Trump won. Big reason why Hillary Clinton lost is because she couldn't convince people that voting for her would actually do anything.
Yeah.
Trump was able to do that. He was lying.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton was also probably lying, but about different things. But
like, they're lying in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. But like, Hillary Clinton wasn't able to do that. It's not the fault of individual voters that feel forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we gotta, I mean, it's because
it's never the fault of individuals anyway. It's the fault of these existing structures.
Yeah. God, our political structures are not set up to make people feel cared about.
Big systems analysis.
We're just
cogs in the machine turning.
We're just systems, guys. Systems, guys. Speaking of a system, that's probably going to fuck everyone over.
Segue into some more financial news. The Economist, who? Welcome to Head in the Office.
Yeah, welcome to Head in the Economist. Head in the Economy.
Head in the Economy. Welcome to the Economist getting head in the office.
Some news about the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve raised interest rates last week. The Fed raised interest rates by 0.5%, 0.5.
That's a lot.
50 basis points, if you will.
Oh,
that's what we say in econ.
Yeah, exactly, in big econ terms. Yeah, I took macro and micro.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly. So 50 basis points or 0.5%, that's the largest hike since 2000.
Wild.
In an attempt to calm down inflation. And for those of you that don't know, Federal Reserve is the central bank of the U.S., controls monetary policy. Just another political body that we have no control over. It has immense power over our lives, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Insane power. It literally can just raise interest rates like that. Like, bam.
And you may be wondering why. Why raise interest rates? How does that help inflation?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know, interest rates, if you increase interest rates, it makes it more expensive for banks to borrow from the Federal Reserve.
Supply and demand principles.
And if banks have to pay more or they have higher interest on the money that they're borrowing, they then have to raise the interest rates on citizen borrowers, which makes it more expensive for you to do something like take out a loan for a house or a car or something else. So the raising of interest rates is basically just to discourage spending, which is really interesting to me. And I've always thought this about the Federal Reserve. It's like, why is the only tool we have for combating inflation to just fuck over the working class people?
Yeah, you know, because that's literally what it is. Essentially, it's like inflation already disproportionately hurts poor people.
Yeah.
It's basic goods just getting more expensive, wages stagnant forever. Uh-huh. They're not increasing. It's just getting harder for poor people to live. And the Fed's response to stop inflation is to make it even harder for those poor people to live by raising interest rates on maybe a mortgage that they want to put out in an already horrible fucking housing market, raising interest rates on a mortgage, raising interest rates on, you know, getting a fucking car loan, transportation, because we live in a car-dependent society.
Yeah.
Those same issues aren't felt by the middle class, and they're not felt at all by the rich.
Yeah.
the only people that get fucked over are poor people who are going to continue to get fucked over as inflation is still at that level.
Yeah, you know, maybe we shouldn't allow corporations to just fucking dominate our lives.
Maybe we shouldn't allow corporations to just arbitrarily raise prices because they can by lying about inflation, because that's so much of what we saw during the pandemic is motherfuckers just lied about there being inflation so that they could justify raising prices actually create inflation, which they could then further use to justify to raise further prices.
Like, inflation happens when demand is much higher than supply, right?
Yeah.
So people have to raise prices in order to account for that. You're going to tell me that a fucking Lysol bottle is $8? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck off. Like, a Febreze is not $8 fucking dollars.
The whole fucking principle there with inflation happening when supply can't beat demand is that, okay, so the way that we can curve inflation is to make it so poor people literally can't buy these things.
Yes.
Because you have to raise prices so that supply and demand can reach equilibrium. So in raising prices, get fucked.
Yeah.
Get fucked, idiot.
That's what I'm saying is, like, why is the only way we can resolve these massive economic crises is just fucking over poor people?
And it's like, inflation's fake anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
like,
not real.
I'm not a huge economist guy, but like, fundamentally, it's like, inflation's fake.
Yeah, no, if I can't hold it, if I can't reach out and touch it, it's not real.
Inflation seems like it's this like intangible thing. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Not the most intelligent economic discussion, but inflation's fake. We can literally just make these prices go down. There's a case in Italy, I want to say after World War II, where inflation started to go crazy. And you know what the people in Italy did? They said no.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a case in Italy. I can't remember exactly where it was. I don't remember the exact details of it. But yeah, inflation was starting to go crazy. And the people said, no, we're not paying these prices. And so it brought everything back down. It equilibralized the market, you know?
And it's like, I'm sure there's plenty of other leftist political commentators you could go to for like more in-depth economic talk that know a lot more about.
Yeah, you
how
go to like
unlearning work.
Economics yeah, to figure out this
one.
Shit out.
We'd highly recommend doing that. But like at the same time, it's like, I feel like we could imagine a better society, one where poor people aren't always getting screwed over in the economy. Exactly. Maybe they have a bit more of a say in what goes on because they're human beings.
I recognize inflation as a natural part of the economy, as just a built-in way that the economy functions and that economic growth happens. I recognize it. I do. I recognize it's why it's essential. But what I can't recognize is the fact that we are refusing to raise wages. To meet that inflation.
Yeah.
Because that's what should happen. So that's my take on it.
Kind of brazy. Kind of brazy.
Exactly.
Speaking of people that keep getting fucked over, though, Amazon workers.
Ooh.
Chris Smalls, leader of the first Amazon union in Staten Island, I think, New York, he testified in front of the Senate.
Wow.
Is some noteworthy news that got completely overshadowed by the abortion stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I guess justifiably so, but also kind of sad. But anyway, like I said, leader of the Amazon union, he spoke in front of a Senate committee at the behest of Bernie Sanders.
Good shit.
Chairman of the Budget Committee. And he wore a jacket that said, "Eat the Rich."
That's fire.
Which I think is the first time that that's ever been worn inside the Senate building.
That's
pretty heat. And he was there to describe Amazon's union busting tactics to the committee.
Okay.
And Jeff Bezos was also invited, didn't show up.
Of course he didn't. Show his face.
He was invited to defend the company's actions. I think some Amazon representatives were there to like talk if they wanted to, but I don't think they did. Because, what are you going to say?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You're going to say, no, actually, we didn't do all that stuff that you like basically have video of us doing.
Yeah. But I was happy to see this because it gave Chris Smalls and it gave the Amazon union some real legitimacy.
It's even just unions in general more legitimacy.
Yeah. But Lindsey Graham had some stuff to say.
Of course, Lindsey Graham. I fucking hate that weasel.
Lindsey Graham, he does look like a weasel.
He does. He's the fucking worst. He like flip-flops. He's one of those Republicans that he doesn't know how to play the game as well as Mitch McConnell does.
Yeah.
But he's trying really hard to play the game, and you can see right through it.
To disastrous effects.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible impacts. But the first thing he said is he called the hearing radical. And he said morally wrong to single out Amazon.
Why? Why is it morally? That's the company he works for. This is about the Amazon unions, one of the largest workplaces in America.
I don't know. Apparently, just like being a worker that wants power in your workplace is just too radical for him now.
Fucking guys.
Which, I mean, I guess if we're using the actual academic version of radical, then that's what being radical is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he means it as a derogatory. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He also then said, quote, This is Lindsey Graham. He said, quote, "This is an effort to get an outcome you want using the United States Senate as your vehicle. This is very dangerous. You can have oversight hearings all you'd like, but you've determined Amazon is a piece of crap company." That's your political bias.
Guys, imagine using the Senate to get what you want.
Guys, imagine using the political bodies we set up to get the outcomes we want, to get the outcomes we want. Guys, you're not allowed to. Guys, the Senate shouldn't be working right now.
Guys, imagine having a stance on a political position that you advocate for. That's political bias.
What the fuck?
A third grader could get up there and say something smarter than this fucking weasel. I don't understand how he's in any position of power, dog. That's the dumbest quote I've heard all year.
How dare you use the Senate to find an outcome, bro?
Oh my God. How dare you use the Senate to advocate for something that you believe is best for democracy?
Lindsey Graham said, "We're not problem solvers here." We're not problem solvers. We're not here to get outcomes. Shit,
maybe that's the most... Maybe it's indirectly based.
Yeah. Next thing he said... He said, quote, "Every time I turn around..." I think he was talking to Bernie Sanders at this point.
Of course.
He said, "Every time I turn around, you're having a hearing about anyone who makes money is bad." He's a kid. Like, that's something a child would say.
That's something a third grader would say, bro. Oh, yeah. My God.
I love how we're just, like, meshing the meaning of words together now. Like, that's what the GOP is really doing.
Well,
like,
they specialize in rhetorical drift.
Like, soon, like, before you know it, being a union worker is going to be analogous to grooming for them. Like, they're going to start saying that's grooming and also murdering babies.
Oh, you're trying to unionize this workplace that has 17-year-olds working there?
Wow.
Did you not know that Starbucks hires teenagers? This is literally grooming.
This is, yeah.
What are you going in here to talk? You're trying to be assault? Like, that's what it's called, right? The people that just go in. Yeah, you're trying to be assault? You're trying to go here just to talk to minors?
You're trying to assault someone?
Oh, wow, fuck.
Must be a groomer. And then in the hearing, Chris Smalls, of course, doing his thing. He emphasized that workers are what makes companies operate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not Jeff Bezos doing it. He had a good quote here. He said to Lindsey Graham, actually, he was kind of just arguing with Lindsey Graham.
Good.
Because, like, no one else there is going to be a fucking idiot. Like, it's a worker, bruh. Chris Smalls said, quote,
"It's a worker who won. Like, he got Amazon to unionize."
I know.
Like,
and Lindsey Graham's still trying to delegitimize him.
Out of his depth, honestly.
Chris Mall said, "You forgot that the people are the ones who make these companies operate, and when we're not protected, the process for when we hold these companies accountable is not working for us, and that's the reason we're here today." And he also hit Lindsey Graham with a bunch of other shit too.
What a dog.
Yeah,
what a
dog. Really, it's good.
Just, I love how Bernie Sanders tries to have a meaningful discussion about wealth inequality at one of the, like, with his position of power. That is one of the most powerful in the country. And Lindsey Graham says, "You just want to say money's bad."
Wait. Bernie Sanders, chairman of the budget committee, overseeing how the Senate spends its money.
Taxation being an important part of how the Senate gets money.
Yeah. He said, "You're trying to use the Senate to get an outcome that you want." Yes. Isn't that my job?
Isn't that what you do every time you vote on a bill, Lindsey? Yeah. Come on now.
Ridiculous. Smalls and some other organizers met with Vice President Harris and also Labor Secretary Marty Walsh. And they also met with Biden briefly. They had, like, a photo together.
Good thing they didn't meet with Jen Psaki after Amazon hired the company that she used to work at to help Union Bus.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't have made, like, meeting with Biden more purposeful, but whatever.
Wouldn't they, like, publicize that? Probably because they don't care about unions.
Probably for the same reason Lindsey Graham just openly attacked a union worker on camera, because probably no one was paying attention to it with all the abortion news going on.
Oh my God, dude, he's unhinged. He's unhinged.
Yeah. Like, who does he think that's landing well with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who is that convincing to vote for you?
Chris Smalls was on Tucker Carlson gaining some support, too.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, Tucker Carlson said, like, he was lying, of course. But he was like, "I support you, Chris Smalls. He seems like you need some help over there at Amazon."
He's like, "Yeah, I guess we could support this
Lindsey
Amazon
Graham
thing."
Out here running defense for Jeff Bezos. He doesn't need it, man. He doesn't need it.
He's got infinitely more money than you ever
infinitely
will.
More power than you.
It's facts. Like, facts. You could buy a country.
Anyways, I think that that sums it up for our little episode here today. Our little experiment.
Exactly, you know, a little social experiment, actually.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you can hear it in my voice. I've been sick the last few days.
Got a little cold.
Fighting for my life out here. Still delivering content, though.
Exactly.
Doing what I got to do.
Got to, all the time.
But before we go.
On the dot, like clockwork.
Before we go, it's time to thank our financial backers. And this list, it keeps on growing.
The people with which we have a fiduciary responsibility to.
Exactly.
Our investors, the angel investors.
If Elon Musk ever tries to buy us and we say no, we could get sued. So just so you know, because we're looking out for, we have a fiduciary responsibility.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. Got to take the best deal.
Because their dividends are like the content we produce.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Terrence Nicholson, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, John G, The B Plot, Clayton Lafort, Ash Fireblood, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B, Satan's Menstrual Cycle, The Mind Sculptors, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, and my mom. Thank you all for supporting the show on Patreon.
When I shouted Kaz out earlier, did I say his name wrong?
Probably.
Fuck.
Probably. It's a learning curve.
Fuck.
It's a learning curve.
Bro's going to bully me in the Discord.
Speaking of the Discord, make sure you join. Check out the Patreon. Lots of cool stuff coming.
You can tell us when we pronounce your name wrong.
Exactly. Thank you all for listening to the episode.
Have a great one.